Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Hello, good morning. How are you this morning? On the programme today, farming organisations lurching to the far right. The environmental activist who made the claim and the president of the dairy farmers debate. Spain falls out of love with the far right, but doesn't vote decisively for either of the two main parties in yesterday's snap election. The Ireland team has arrived in Perth ahead of Wednesday's match against Canada. We have the latest from within the camp. And how much are you paying for your takeaway meal that has nothing to do with the cost of the meal? Text us this morning on 51551, or you can also email todaycb@rte.ie. I want to turn to the lead story in the headlines that Brian Jennings just brought you there. Corfu and Evia becoming the latest Greek islands to issue evacuation orders as the country grapples with devastating wildfires. I'm joined by Ronan McGreevy, Irish Times journalist and historian, who happens coincidentally, not for work purposes, to be on the island of Corfu. Where are you, Ronan? What's it like?
I'm in very hot, Philip. I'm in Cassiope, which is on the northwest corner of Corfu. And the fires that you probably saw last night are happened directly in front of where I'm staying, which is just to the south of Cassiope. They broke out, we just noticed them approximately 8:30 last night as we were coming back from the pool. And within about, I'd say, an hour and a half, the whole sort of horizon in front of us, the hills in front of us, were glowing red with wildfires.
You took some pretty dramatic pictures. Were you at any point fearful?
Well, I mean, it's yes and no. I mean, it's not that far as the crow flies from us, and but they seem to be confined at one stage to the top of the ridge over near where we're staying, and they didn't appear to come down on our side of the slopes. But you of course, you'll be mindful of what has been happening in roads and other places across Greece here, and we got two emergency alerts last night, and they're quite loud, and you're sort of the phone vibrates in your hands, and you know there are lots of different communities that have had to evacuate to Cassiope and to Ipsos, which is an island about, I think, 10 kilometers or a beach about 10 kilometers south of here. So obviously it's in your mind that perhaps you'll be next, but fortunately for us, the fires seem to have died down. I'm actually looking at them at the moment. There's a lot of white smoke on the top of the hills here, and there's the occasional breakout of fire. And even as I speak, I can hear sirens. But it does appear that the fire seems to have been contained. And from what I'm reading myself on the news this morning, the local mayor here says that the situation is under control.
The communications sound quite good, Ronan. Did you feel well abreast of what was happening and informed whether you should or shouldn't be evacuating?
Well, I mean, every single one of our phones are here went off at the same time. You couldn't not notice. It's a very loud sort of noise. So yes, I mean, but obviously, like everybody else, we were keeping an eye on the news and on Twitter, etc., etc. It's always a situation where you're in the middle of something that people can see, who can see the bigger picture, and sometimes know more than yourself. But obviously, we were quite anxious about all of this last night. But it appears, as of now, that the fires are out here, and that we'll be able to continue with our holiday.
What about those who lived in the area or closer to the fires? Is it apparent whether there were homes that were destroyed or not?
No, I gather not. No, I'm reading what the local mayor here said on local news, that there hadn't been any homes destroyed or anybody injured. I'm looking here in front of me. I mean, where the fire happened is on the highest point in the whole of the island, which would mean probably the reason why so many people can see it. But it's also a place that's not populated by the looks of things. But I mean, the fire itself is, I would estimate, less than a kilometer away from their, where they're homed here on the side of the mountain. So obviously it was a lot of concern. And I mean, there were fire trucks going by all during the night here. And also there was, when I woke up this morning, there was a helicopter that was dousing the flames. So, I mean, they've worked very hard to put this fire out. But it's very, very hot here. It's very dry. And I guess, you know, you were just hopeful that that's the end of it here. But, I mean, Greece is going through an unprecedented heat wave. I know it's hot during the summer. That's why we all come here. But they've had 17 days of a heat wave, and that's unprecedented in their history.
You flew in on Thursday. If was the case that you were to have been flying today, do you think that you would have boarded that plane?
Yes, absolutely. The airport in Corfu is a long way from here. I mean, it's at least 40 to 50 minutes in a cab, so it wouldn't affect me. And this is a big island. I mean, it's you know, it's probably 60 kilometers from north to south. So I'd say, you know, it's not going to affect the whole island. When you hear Corfu, it's not like one of these little small islands that you get in Greece. It's quite a big place. So I would still, it wouldn't put me off coming here, but obviously it's up to individuals themselves. Mm. And I guess the authorities here will have the final say. They're the ones who can see the big picture.
2.5 weeks of heat wave, as you say. Is there any sign of that abating?
I gather that there's an orange weather alert today. Yesterday was red. It's so hot here. It feels a bit cooler today. It certainly felt a lot cooler yesterday evening. But the one good thing about all of this, because it's so hot, there is no wind whatsoever. So that's why the authorities here have been able to keep the fire. The last thing they need is the wind to kick up. But it is very hot here. It's going to be hot again tomorrow and Wednesday, and it'll cool down after that. But yesterday, I mean, going by the forecast, it was 41 degrees here. So it's obviously conducive to wildfire spreading everywhere.
Ronan McGreevy from the Irish Times, thank you very much. I'm joined by Owen Corry of Air and Travel magazine now about your rights when you're travelling to countries like this. Owen, how many flights to Corfu? How many flights to Rhodes from Ireland every week?
Not as many as we would have had if this had happened about 20 years ago. We have 2 flights to Dublin a week, 3 flights from Belfast a week. They're going to scheduled to depart as normal. There's Ryanair taking off tomorrow. And to answer your question, Corfu, by the way, will have 2 Aer Lingus and 2 Ryanair flights a week as well. So it's about double the number of tourists going in. But the question about rights, really, until the Department of Foreign Affairs says don't travel, you don't have any. You can't just decide that you're not flying out and get your money back. What you can do is make a case for changing a date. Travel agents, obviously, a bit more sympathetic than the airlines that people book directly with on that case. But you don't have an absolute right to it. You're just depending on your relationship there.
It's all a little bit unfair, isn't it, when you have some airlines who are cancelling flights and others who are not?
And no airlines from Ireland cancelling flights. As far as I know, the EasyJet flight tomorrow from Belfast is still going out. Now, as far as I know, they're in the English cases where the English travel companies have been cancelling flights. They're flying out empty to bring people home. But the number of Irish people affected and the tourism impact is not to minimise what the local population are going through, that tremendous ordeal that we have been watching on our screens. But there are only about 700 tourists in Rhodes, for instance. Some listeners will be familiar with Falraki and places like that. They're about an hour and a half away from where the fire in Rhodes is, and that is the one that's caused the most damage to the local community and the evacuations.
Now, obviously, Ronan McGreevy was pretty sanguine about flying in and would have chosen to fly today, having seen what he saw last night, if that was to have been the case. But I read in his own newspaper, somebody, Maggie McManus, who flew in yesterday, was quoted as saying, "Fires raging in the dark. People were completely traumatised. It was just horrendous, particularly for anyone with young children. Not a clue what's going on. Afraid of their lives," she said. Should the airlines not be a little bit more sympathetic in these circumstances?
They airlines tend to go to react when they're pretty sympathetically when they've got a situation where they have to large numbers of people pulling out or large numbers of people cancelling. What we've seen since the start of the heat wave is a lot of concern, but very few cancellations. And as I say, looking for date changes. What will Rhodes and Corfu, the fires will probably the same sort of thing, concerns without cancellations. This is, and I based that on the experience of what happened before, like the autumn fires, October 2017, that affected central Portugal more than the Algarve. And it's 5 years since we had a deadly fire in Greece, 2018 as well, almost the anniversary yesterday. People get very concerned, but tend not to cancel. When what the airlines do, the aviation industry and the travel agents do, is they don't leave the decision down to the individual travel agent or the individual airline. They'll depend very heavily on what their own crews are telling them. If their pilots are telling them there is a safety situation, but what is absolute is the DFA. And the DFA advice so far has been not to stop travelling, but to stay away from the area.
So it really does come down to the Department of Foreign Affairs. Do you think after the pushback that the department and the government received back in lockdown times when travel restrictions were applied, that they would think very, very carefully before imposing restrictions now?
I don't think it'll have any effect. I think what does tend to happen is that different DFAs, different foreign affairs departments tend to work in tandem. When the European Union starts saying somewhere is unsafe, all the countries sort of line up. The source for this, by the way, is the ambassador. If the ambassador says this is unsafe for Irish people, the news will go out, don't travel. And there are four levels of alert. And this is the four levels of alert are sort of, they sound like a bureaucratic thing, but they are really important in terms of travel insurance. You really don't have a case for deciding yourself you cannot travel because of a heat wave. You need the Department of Foreign Affairs says don't travel, or there's a high level of risk, which is the next one down, and you then have a case for compensation and for getting your money back. But in the meantime, anyone with small children and elderly people, asthma situations, it's not the airline you'd be going to; it's the travel insurance company, and that is where medical evidence is important.
When you do try and transfer flights, it's quite often an expensive procedure. Have you any tips to offer people?
Not really, because the booking direct with a low-cost airline, they're pretty unforgiving on it. When you do have a relationship with a travel agent, particularly where the travel agent has control over their own flights, it's a charter flight, as would happen with the TUI flights, you do have much more leeway. So the tip really is that when it comes to anything complicated, it's always good to go to a travel agent. That doesn't mean your traditional travel agent is the only place to go, because all of the family travel agents we know up and down the country, they're all online now, and they all have backup services, and they played a huge part during the pandemic that you talk about, and got very little thanks or very little, certainly very little remuneration for it. So they're the sort of people who are good to have on your side when something unexpected happens, such as the heat wave and the fires.
The elephant in the room here is that we're in the middle of a climate crisis. These events have been exacerbated because of climate change. Is the aviation industry's approach to dealing with that, this disconnect of 33,000 flights a day in the middle of a climate crisis, just to ignore the elephant in the room?
you have to be careful tying individual weather events to the
not
overall
in this
climate.
Case, you don't.
What people look for is the extremes and the frequency of the weather events. But to tie in the aviation industry, it's a bigger debate, and we'll have it. I'm very, very happy to have it. But the aviation industry has put to a greater degree and urged by a couple of Irish people, Willie Walsh would be a very good big player in this, have put sustainability at the heart of everything that they're doing and moving their planning over the next 20, 30 years.
Yes, but it is something that is decades away from being achieved, isn't it?
The net zero is 2050. That's a long, long, long way away. But that's equally important, Philip, are the intermediary targets, the targets they've set all along the way, and the way that the industry as a whole has come together. There are, you know, when you go to the COP conferences in Glasgow and Charm, there were always countries that were sort of dragging their heels a little bit. The interesting thing about aviation is that you have a unit or a body as an industry that have committed together, and there would be people who'd be more, more aware of climate responsibilities than others within the aviation industry. But they have pretty much come together, and I must say, a couple of Irish people have been pretty much at the heart okay. of that process.
Owen Corrie, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Are Irish farm organisations lurching to the far right? Debate after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.